I don't know if you've noticed here in the summertime, but people like to get outside when it's not raining. But particularly in the mornings, I've noticed as I've been driving to work, there's a lot of people who are out. They're walking or jogging or running. And notice I'm the guy in the car in the air conditioning looking at them walking or running out my windshield. No, I exercise other ways. That's just not my mode right now is going for runs. But, you know, you see them out there, and there's lots of different types of people that are out exercising. So you, first off, you got the people who are out for their stroll with a friend or with a dog, and they're just kind of, you know, chilling out, walking like this, and proud of them. They're out there, they're walking, they're on the go. It's great. Then you've got your people who are out walking, and they've got a mission. They're like, I want to exercise, and I'm going to go. They got their arms swinging. They got deep strides, you know. They're going like this as they're walking. You're like, okay, they're serious. Then you've got your speed walkers, heel, toe, heel, toe, heel. You know, they're going like this, and they're just going around. They're getting their exercise, and it's like an Olympic sport for them, right? Then you got your joggers. The joggers are out there. They're running like this, and they look like they're so exhausted. They're like, oh, I don't know if I can go anymore. And they're sweating and just, oh, you know. They're making their pace. It's kind of slow, but they're, you know, good thing. You're out there. They're running. They're doing the best they can. Then there's the people who look like they're training for a marathon, right? They're the ones that are just like, I could go for miles. Come on, I eat marathons for breakfast. This week I saw a guy who was out there running. He had his shirt off. He was chiseled. He looked like he was straight out of the Navy SEALs. He looked like he'd be going for 10 miles, and he could go 10 miles more. No problem. Hey, throw someone on my back. Yeah, I got this, right? You got all those kinds of people out there. How many of you are one of them from walking for a stroll to running for a marathon? Anybody out here, you exercise sometimes, a couple times a day, maybe a couple times a week, right? Very few. How many of you are the look at them outside your windshield as you're driving by? Yeah, okay. That's a good crowd to be in. They got a couple things in common, all the people who are out there. Number one, they're on the move. They're on the go. They've got a goal. They set, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to walk or I'm going to run. I want to get my steps in. I want to get my miles in, whatever it may be. Even if it's just to take the dog for some exercise or to use the bathroom. I mean, there's even that kind of goal, right? Get out and move. The other thing that they have in common is that it takes a lot of coordinated effort for the human body just to do what they're doing. Isn't it a miracle? Like the way that God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about all the things that it takes just to take a step forward, right? So you've got this part of you that just to take a step forward, your core has to like have balance and lean forward. Your shoulders have to lean forward and your momentum starts to go this way. So this foot pushes off the weight. And so this foot goes forward and takes the weight and steps. This one starts to swing. And now you got arms into the motion. And we do it without even thinking. But it is said that there are over 200 muscles involved in taking one step, right? Your primary ones are your quads and your hamstrings. You got your calf muscles down into your Achilles. Your foot muscles are going, and you've got your hip flexors. Even your gluteus maximus gets involved in taking every step. And all of this is coordinated without us even thinking about it. God has made us in such an amazing way that we can be on the move as human beings. And the truth of the matter is, he's made his church the same way. Christ is the head of the body. He's the one who is coordinating it all. He's the one who has the plan. He has the mission. And then we are the parts of the body, the scripture says. Someone might be the hand. Someone might be a foot. Someone might be a leg. Someone might be the quadricep. Someone in here is the gluteus maximus. We'll let you debate who that is. I'm not going to go ahead and point you out. but one of you. And in all of this, as we work together, God has a mission for us. He has a plan for us to be on the move, to accomplish the things that he has set out in his word for us to do. Things like make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. To build up the body so that we can become strong and mature. To care for one another.
to go and reach this world, both in Mechanicsburg and around the world, that we would be part of that mission until Jesus comes back. We have a mission. We have a plan. We have a body. And I love the way the Christian Missionary Alliance says this. They have a saying that all of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Let me just walk us through that real quick. All of Jesus. You might say, well, what do you mean by all of Jesus? Because oftentimes we stop at just, oh, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins so that you don't have to go to hell. That's part of it. But there's so much more to experience the life of Jesus, the abundant life of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the grace for all things in life. All of Jesus for all of the world. It's not just for one country, one people group, one type of person. He's for everyone. But to have all of Jesus for all the world, it's going to take all of us to be together on this mission. And we want to see this world reached for Christ. And here we're going to be stepping into 1 Peter chapter 4. And the context that we started last week was verse 7 started off saying, the end of all things is near. We don't know when that day is coming that Jesus will return, when all things will be finished on earth as we know them, but a day is coming. And so in light of that, and we looked last week at three things that Peter told us to do, and it just kind of flows into our verses today where he says, you all as a body, you have gifts that God has given you. Now work in them together to accomplish what God has in mind, because the end is coming. And so follow along as I read here in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. We're going to see four key truths that God has for us today. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And he can't stop himself here as he starts talking about praise to Jesus Christ. He says, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. First key truth we see in here is right at the beginning of verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. The biblical truth is that every believer in Christ, every person who has said, Lord, I repent of my sin, my way, doing life on my own for my own purposes, I turn from that and I turn to your grace. Will you forgive me? Will you come into my life and lead me? When we make that invitation and we trust in Christ, what he did for us on the cross, paying for our sin, we get this incredible gift. The Holy Spirit himself comes and lives within us, and he gives each person a spiritual gift. What does that mean? It's a way that you are now empowered to serve the Lord that you did not have before you were a believer in Christ. All of us, before we came to Christ, had certain natural talents. They were God-given talents, maybe that you just were born with, or that you developed over the years, or that you were trained in. Those are wonderful, but that's not what we're talking about here. You have a personality that God gave you and you were wired with, and you have certain strengths and passions and interests. That's wonderful, but that's still not what we're talking about here. A spiritual gift is a way that the Lord works through you supernaturally to serve him that you did not have before you came to Christ and would not have if you were not a believer in Christ. As the Holy Spirit indwells you, he enables you to serve the Lord in new ways and in supernatural kind of strength. It doesn't mean it's going to look flashy all the time. It just means that he's the one who's working this way in you. 1 Corinthians 12:11 is one of those verses that just makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit chooses what gift you're going to receive. You don't get to choose. I don't get to choose. He gives them to us, and we begin to serve him. You might wonder, well, where do we find this truth in Scripture? I'm going to put up four Scripture passages here on the screen that tell a lot about spiritual gifts. And so go ahead forward to that. There are four key chapters of the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. If you have not read these before, if you're new to this conversation, and you're saying, okay, I want to learn more about it.
write these four chapters down. It's not like the whole chapter talks about them, but parts of these chapters do. And so you find those and read those and familiarize yourself with them.
If you've been a believer for a long time, you haven't thought about this in a while, go back and read these as well and review the fact, this marvelous truth that God has a way he wants to use you to serve him in our church and in this world. Those are four key passages. They're easy to remember. I remember this, or memorized this years ago when I was becoming a pastor and I had to interview in front of a board of pastors, and they were asking me about spiritual gifts, and I had to remember, okay, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. You got two 12s and two 4s. Makes it a lot easier, right? I figured that out years ago. All right, so in those passages, there are examples of spiritual gifts, and I'm going to have a long list on the screen. I know it's kind of overwhelming. I know it's a lot of words. There's even a few more than this that people have picked out from various scriptures. But this is a good main list of spiritual gifts. So serving and helps kind of go hand in hand. There are ways that you work behind the scenes, usually in ways that other people look very successful, because your goal is to help things go forward, and you are just coming alongside, assisting in ways that you do things that others aren't seeing, and you're prompted to do that, and it's what you love to do. In fact, you get a sense of gratification of like, yes, I helped this to happen, and people don't even know it. Mercy is a gift of being able to show compassion toward people and step alongside them in their hardest moments. Healing is an ability to, we can all pray for healing, but some people, as they pray for healing, have a certain insight from the Lord and maybe even are able to pray at specific times to bring healing to people. Faith, we all should exercise faith, but these ones have a sense of, in a particular moment, we need to believe the Lord for this. We need to trust the Lord for this, and they sense that from within their soul in their relationship with God. We got to trust him for this. Teaching, the ability to communicate the word of God effectively in ways that the Lord speaks through them. Leadership and administration kind of go hand in hand. Leadership is the ability to see what needs to go forward, call out the Lord's vision and bring people along with them, whereas administration is more the ability to find out the parts and pieces and mobilize the body to make that happen. Encouragement is the ability to come alongside people and speak words to them of the Lord, maybe of his word or his promises or just words of peace to people in the midst of hard times. Generosity, we all should be generous, but they have people who have this gift are able to give sacrificially, joyfully, above and beyond as the Lord leads them. Knowledge, being able to know things from the Lord about a particular situation, bringing wisdom and being able to speak into things as a voice from the Lord. Hospitality, being able to make people feel like they belong and welcome them into spaces where they feel loved by Jesus by being in your presence. Leading worship, being able to help people come before the throne of God. Intercession, people who can pray in ways we all should pray, but are able to really linger before the throne of God and bring things before him, and they don't want to leave. They just want to keep talking to the Lord about things. Discernment, being able to understand at a right point in a right time between things that are true, things that are false, things that are of God, things that are not of God, and being able to pierce right to the heart of what's going on. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts that are outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. There's a whole discussion about that there, but being able to speak messages from God that aren't of our known languages, but are just words from the Lord, and being able to interpret when someone else might say one of those. And we here at Emmanuel Church and part of the Christian Missionary Alliance believe that all of these gifts that we see in the New Testament are still functioning today, need to be in the right context as they're given, need to be exercised with maturity and with an aim to build up the body. There's several more on there. I was just even thinking in that context of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, I forgot to put prophecy, being able to speak a timely word of the Lord into situations. So there's so many gifts that have been given by the Lord.
And we need to learn to discern those gifts, step into them, and let the Lord use us to serve. Now, here's one of the great things about this. If you're a believer in Christ, you have at least one of those, if not multiple. And everyone gets to be part of it. Everyone gets to serve the Lord. There is no one left out of the game here. We all get a part to play. And it's a wonderful thing that you and I have that invitation to be part of it. Now, that could be in the context of a Sunday morning gathering. This is our largest gathering we have as a church family in a week. So maybe you're on a team. Maybe you're scheduled in some way. That's great. Maybe you're scheduled throughout another time of the week and you participate in a certain ministry. Awesome. Or maybe you just function in your spiritual gifts in ways that are unscheduled, unplanned, not part of a team. And as you step into a situation, God just prompts you and you serve him with these things. Or maybe it's deployed outside of our church family. You're working in these giftings in your family or in the community. Either way, God is the one working in you, helping you to serve him in ways that we never saw or never could have done on our own. Remember the whole idea about walking? It takes 200 muscles to take a step. It takes this whole church family to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Each one of you have a part, even if you're like a toe that's hidden usually by socks and shoes, and it's a stinky toe, no one ever sees it, but you're part of helping take a step. You have a role in what God is wanting to do. Now let's put this into a little bit more practical terms. And I'm going to use an example of if you were to show up on a Sunday night at 6 p.m., there's going to be a ministry that's going to be meeting every Sunday night, and it's called... Not that. It's called youth group. But they do that a lot. Now, imagine you show up at 6 o'clock. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be a little chaotic. There's going to be hormones flying all around. And yeah, it's like, whoa. I don't know if I want to imagine showing up on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Listen, it's fun. Yeah, it's a great time. Pastor James, where are you at? He must have stepped out for a moment. Okay, so we can talk about him. He doesn't know what we're saying. All right, so if you show up on a Sunday night and you're there, there's a bunch of kids. There's usually 25 to 30 kids, and there's youth leaders involved. And it's going to take the exercise of a bunch of spiritual gifts to have a successful ministry night there together. You could have a gathering with no spiritual gifts, but you can't have an effective ministry where Christ is working in people's lives without these spiritual gifts. So someone with the gift of hospitality might be watching the door and making sure that every person who comes in gets greeted. They might be making sure they feel like they're noticed and that they have a place where they belong and where they fit. You might have someone with the gift of generosity who has said, you know, we got to make sure these kids have a snack when they come here. And so they might have purchased some extra things and brought them, and they take delight in watching these kids devour the things that they brought. You might have someone with the gift of administration who has been able to plan out what's happening that night and what's coming up in the future weeks, and they've thought it through, and they've delegated, and people all have their parts and places. You might have someone with the gift of leadership who is rallying the students together to do a certain project or to do a certain thing that night that they're going to accomplish. You might have someone with the gift of teaching who brings a message from the Word of God. You might have someone gifted in leading worship that then pulls the kids in together to come before the throne of God and praise him, which, by the way, let me just put a little side note, that's most often a group of students that do that, which is just a really cool thing, because the gifts of the Spirit are not just for adults. They're for kids, teens, and adults. And all the things that I've already mentioned, kids do all that stuff too. Right? Then you might have someone with the gift of mercy who comes alongside a student who's been struggling, who's been hurting, and they're able to shepherd them and able to speak maybe even words of encouragement using that gift to them. You might have someone with the gift of help who stays around afterwards and says, hey, I noticed this isn't done. Can I help you with that? And they help clean everything up from that night.
This is how the body can work together. Take that same concept into any sort of gathering of believers, any sort of ministry that needs to be accomplished. There's going to be a variety of gifts all working together as the Holy Spirit is coordinating with Jesus as our head for us to be able to serve him effectively together, and that the presence of God would be in our midst as all of those things happen. Can I point out something I just said a few minutes earlier when we had Dwayne up here? This is why it's a bad idea to have any one person do all the ministry. They are only gifted in a few ways when the rest of the body is gifted in all the other ways. And so if you expect one person to do all of this, there's going to be certain things they'll do well, and there's going to be certain things they won't do as well. We've got to work as a team. The other thing that will happen is that one person will become so burnt out from doing it all that they won't last in it very long. Another thing that'll happen is it'll completely shrink the capacity of our church family then to minister to more people. We have got to work as a team, as a body, because that's the way we were designed. That leads us right into the next point that we have here, is that we need to steward our spiritual gifts. We need to use them in the way that God has asked us to, command us to, and is prompting us to. Verse 10 says that each one should use whatever spiritual gift he has to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace, stewarding his grace, making sure that his working is expressed in all of its various forms. We are not the owners of a spiritual gift. They're deposited in us through a relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. As he lives in us, this is a way he works through us, has chosen to work through us. Do you understand that? We're not the owners of it. If we come to a bank, let's say you have like $5,000 in cash. Some of you are like, ooh, I could use that right about now. Let's say someone gave you $5,000 in cash, you're holding onto it, it's yours. And you go, the best thing I should do is save this. And you go to the bank, and you put the cash down in front of that teller, and the teller looks at it, it's like, okay, great, we'll get that right into your account. Let's go ahead and deposit that. You understand in that relationship who owns the money, right? Does the bank own your money? No, they're managers, they're stewards of it. You're the owner of it, unless you gave it to Bernie Madoff, in which case it's gone. Okay, some of you who are aware of the news from years ago, right? He took all the money that people invested. But the bank is the steward. The bank is the manager, and it belongs to you. Now, the bank might go and invest it and make more money with it, but when you want your $5,000 back, you take it back. In the same way as with the Lord, he has put this into you. He's deposited it in a way into you as the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he's saying, now use this in a way that will glorify me. Faithfully administer this in all the ways that I'm asking you to do. So he's the one who chooses how and where and when we use it. That doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to grow in it, because there's a scripture that says, fan this gift into flame. This was Paul talking to Timothy when he said that, grow in it, like begin to exercise this gift. It doesn't mean that there's not an accompanying a responsibility to grow in maturity as we use this gift. Most gifts can't be used to their maximum potential unless you are growing in your character, because influence comes with character, not just with ability. And so there's those kinds of things that go along as well. But here's the way that scripture then would picture this, that being part of the church family is a lot less like being on a cruise and a whole lot more like being on a battleship. Okay? Go with me on this. When you go on a cruise, you've purchased your ticket,
and you board with all of your luggage and your swim trunks and your sunglasses, and you got your sunscreen on, you put a little bit on your nose just so it looks like, you know, cool that you got the white stuff right there on your nose, and you're there like, oh, I'm going to just relax this week. It's going to be so great. By the way, I've never been on a cruise, so I'm just like imagining this in my mind. And so... You know, you're like, I want to sit by the pool. I want to take in the sun. I want to see the sights. And I'm going to go to every buffet that I can. I'm going to eat as much as I want. And when I'm hungry by the pool, I'm going to snap my fingers and they're going to bring me, you know, something that I want for a snack. And you are picturing that as you go, you get to relax in here while there's a few hired crew members who run everything. That's not the church. We're more like a battleship that has a mission that's bigger than us. The admiral of the Navy has given this boat a command, a mission, and says, this is what I want you to do. And every member on that boat has a job. Might be a small job. Might be swabbing the deck. Or it might be managing over the guns that are on the side of the ship. Or whatever it may be, steering the ship. But every person has a job under the command of the higher authorities, the commanding officers. And they're on that ship to work, to accomplish a mission. We work together and we have a job to do. That is the call that we're seeing here in this scripture. Use your gifts, faithfully administer them, so that God's grace could be made known and manifest to all the people that need to receive it for the purposes that God gave. Make disciples, build up the church, reach the world. These are the kinds of things he's told us to do. And Jesus is our head who's in charge of all of that. Let me ask you a reflective question. When you became a believer, which did you think? Did you think you bought a ticket for a cruise? Or did you think you enlisted with God's army, Navy? Let me ask you right now, how have you been viewing your involvement in the church family? More as a cruise to enjoy what others are providing for me, or I'm going to get involved and get my hands dirty in the mission? We need to be more like this second one as part of the people of God called on a mission. Third truth we see in here comes from verse 11. It says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. And what this means is as we step in to serve, if you're hearing this and you're going, okay, well, I need to get involved. I need to discover my gifts. I need to be serving in some way. Here's a key truth. Don't miss this. We can only operate in these gifts with the strength that he provides. We can only do it through God's power. In John chapter 15, it's one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's a great metaphor that Jesus teaches that sticks with me so well, resonates with me so well. It's the analogy of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're a branch. And the only way you're going to be able to bear fruit, you know, that cluster of grapes you're going for in a vineyard, is if that branch stays connected to the vine. If that branch decides, I'm going to go out on my own. Like, I don't need this vine. I'm going to do it my way and through my own strength. If that branch disconnects and says, I'm going to bear fruit, we know from nature what's going to happen to that branch. It's going to die. It's going to wither. It's going to shrivel up. And eventually, Jesus says in that passage, all that is good for is to be thrown into the burn pile. There's nothing you can even do with that. It's worthless. Unless you stay connected. Here's the truth. God never called us to do all these great things for him on our own. He's only called us to serve with him. we will not be able to effectively serve the Lord on our own. It's only as we are in relationship with him. We are never called into this life where we become so strong in our faith that we graduate from needing to be talking to him, depending on him, walking with him. No, actually, a mature Christian realizes, oh no, that's the basic of Christian life. I just got to do that all the time. I don't like walk with Jesus and then not walk with Jesus. I need to stay walking with Jesus. That's maturity. It's staying connected to Jesus at all times. There's no way we can serve him if we go out on our own. If we quit praying, if we quit listening, if we quit depending on him, listening to his promptings, following what he is telling us to do. The only way we'll be able to serve him effectively is by staying connected with him. That's why the term spiritual gift might be a little bit misleading. Because it's not a gift he's given you that you go and serve. No, it's a way of grace. The word gift is actually the word grace. It's a way that the Lord wants to work through you, not something that you have to work separately from God. Let's make this a little more practical. Okay, let's say you are on the schedule to teach in our 9 a.m. discipleship hour. We have a time from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Sunday morning where there's classes for kids, for teens, for adults. And here in the summertime, we have only one class for adults. It's a class walking through the parables of Jesus. Some of the best parts of Scripture to be teaching or walking through and learning and teaching because they're so practical and you can just grab onto that truth of like, oh, okay, great, that's really helpful. Jesus taught a lot of times in parables. And so as they're walking through that this summer, let's say you're scheduled for a week to teach and you have your assignment, you have your passage, and you're like, okay, well, I need to start preparing for this. The person should put in their hard work. Okay, serving in gifts is never this vacation of sitting on the cruise ship. There is hard work involved with it. The person should be taking commentaries or curriculum books, should also just be taking the passage itself and just reading it many times and thinking through it and trying to observe different things about it. Maybe drawing on some previous knowledge they have about it to be able to understand what Jesus is saying. But do you think the person, while they're preparing, should pray? Lord, would you show me what you're saying here? Would you begin to open my eyes to what you want to say that Sunday as we're going to meet in this class? Would you help as I try to structure the outline of what we should go through? And Lord, would you speak what you want to speak that day? Do you think that would be a good thing to be praying while you're preparing? All right, so God's involved in the whole preparation process, showing you things, enlightening his word to you as you are reading it, preparing, studying, putting it all together. When you go to show up that day, you probably come a little early. That morning, do you think that that person should be praying also? Like, Lord, I've prepared all this, but it's all yours. This time is yours. You do what you want to do. I just want to hear your voice through this. I want to walk in the strength that you provide. Would you be speaking to people? If you're not praying, then you're stepping into this class in your own confidence, right? These are things that I have to wrestle with every Sunday as I prepare to preach. Even as I was practicing this a few days ago, I had written it all, and I was just convicted. Steve, how much have you prayed for this Sunday? How much are you just kind of relying on the fact that you kind of already put this together? Are you really praying for what God wants to do? And it changed even my preparation these last couple of days. Like, this is what we have to be doing. Then you go into the class and you're teaching through the class and you're aware, okay, Lord, you might change something that I haven't been paying attention to. You might say something else, want me to say something I didn't know, and maybe there's an observation from someone who's in this class who's going to bring something up that I hadn't considered. You're going to speak in ways that I didn't even know. The gifts only work through God's power, not through our own. From beginning to end, it's got to be God who is at the center of even helping us operate
in our gifts. And the same thing works whether it's serving or hospitality or giving or mercy or encouragement or healing. It's all in relationship with God. That's what he's invited us into in our Christian walk, is relationship with him. We do them in the power of God as we're walking with God. Now a little side note here. How can you discover your spiritual gifts? I want to walk through just a couple of practical things real quickly here. One of the ways that you can begin to discover your spiritual gifts is you got to serve. You heard the expression, you can't steer a parked car? Sitting there, you're turning the wheel and nothing's happening. It's got to be moving in order to get direction. Same is true for us in our life. You need to be starting in some place to serve. And as you do that, you'll gain more and more insight, and you'll discover things about yourself and the way that God's working in you that you didn't know. And so if you're not serving somewhere, jump in somewhere, even if it's small. You might begin to discover, I like this, or I really felt like God used me when I did this. And others might comment, hey, you know, you did a really good job with that. Those are some indicators that maybe this is a spot for you, and maybe you're discovering part and getting down to what is your spiritual gifts. Then another thing you can do is take an assessment. There are people that have put together lists of questions that then spit out a result at the end of it. Now, what that is doing is it's asking you questions about, have you ever served this way? Have you ever served this way? And how'd you feel if you did this and if you did this? And they have you rank it from zero to the one I'm going to recommend to you is a zero to four. Zero, he never uses me this way, so it's not going to even show up as a score for you. Or four, it shows up a lot for me, and so that's going to be a high-rated score. And at the end, it's going to compile it all and spit out a result. So on our website, just this week, we put a link to an online assessment. It's 125 questions. It's a lot. They're kind of cumbersome at times, but you just kind of answer as best you can, move right through it. Go ahead and put this on the screen here. There's a screenshot of our website at the very bottom of the website. On the right-hand side, I've circled that in red. There's a link that says Spiritual Gifts Inventory, and just click on that link. It'll take you to a website. Now, I'm not endorsing that website as the place that you can. If you have a spiritual gifts inventory from somewhere else, take that. If you haven't taken one, if it's been a couple of years, you should take one again, because there are new things that God's always doing he might bring to the surface in your life. And I encourage you to take one of those and see what the results are. And then talk about those results with a friend or someone you're serving with so that you can see if it fits. Another thing that's coming up in the life of our church in about a month and a half from now is we're doing a Community Life Sunday on September 14th. It's going to highlight both ways you can be plugged in to grow and belong in your faith, different groups that we're offering here in the church, and various ways you can plug in. But it also will be representative of the ministries we have in our church that you could step into to serve with. And so if you've been thinking about your spiritual gifts, if you've been thinking about ways that you can be stepping in, this will be a great way you can interact with the people who are actually leading these ministries, dialogue with them, ask them questions. And you can even sign up on an interest form to say, I'd like to talk further about this on that Sunday. It'll be over in our fellowship hall. We're going to have tables and booths, and it'll be a very lively room with so many different things represented. You might go, I didn't know there was all this going on at the church. This is great. So that's coming up. Also, during the month of September, I'll be co-leading a class called Finding Your Place to Serve here at Emmanuel. We named it in a way that you can't miss what it's about. You'll go 4 weeks here, four Sunday mornings during that discipleship hour, taking a series of assessments, building a profile of your personality, your spiritual gifts, your abilities, your heart passions, all this stuff, your experiences. And then you're going to meet with a coach afterwards for a 1 hour personal one-on-one to just go through your profile and say, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about maybe serving here? And maybe by the end of that time, you'll have two or three concrete steps you can take to begin serving with Emmanuel. So I just want to put these practical steps out there for you. And then now I want to come to the last part of verse 11. All of this that we're talking about is for a purpose, a main overarching goal.
And that is not for our own praise. It's not for our own recognition. It's not so Emmanuel will look great. It's not so that you can be seen in all the ways that you are serving. He makes it very clear to eliminate egos, to eliminate any sense of pride or one job is more important than the other. He says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Folks, the reason that we even exist, the reason we were created, was to bring glory and honor to God. The reason we were saved is to bring glory and honor to God. The reason that he indwells us to walk through this life is for the glory and honor of God. The reason that he has empowered us and gifted us to be able to serve is for the glory and honor of God. There's no place for us to go, well, hey, it's all about me. Let's say you were going for that walk that morning and you accomplished the amount of steps you were supposed to take according to your little smartwatch, and you get home and your calf muscle starts going, yeah, I did it. I got us on that walk and I made it all happen. Check me out. I'm an awesome calf muscle. And all the rest of the muscles in the body are going, what are you talking about, man? We were all working together. Yes, you were an important part of it, but didn't you see, arms were swinging, and didn't you see, like, the sweat glands are going, I kept our body temperature regulated, and like, you know, the kneecaps, like, it was hurting the whole time. You don't even understand, but I kept us going for it. We were working together, and then the whole body goes, but wait, didn't the head tell us that it was time to go for the walk? Didn't the head coordinate as it sent messages down the spine for us all to move and to work accordingly at the right times and the right ways? Didn't the head have the goal for it? Really, that's where the credit should go. Folks, with all the things that God has us doing here through this church, there's wonderful things of kids ministry and youth ministry and small groups and discipleship stuff and reaching out to our community and English classes and all these things. It's not for our glory. It's for the glory of God alone. And so to put this into practice, as you are reflecting about how God is calling you to step forward, how he's calling you to step into your spiritual gifts, we're going to end here this morning by putting into practice what this scripture says. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. I'm going to invite our worship team to come and lead us in a closing song to mobilize us to do what they're gifted to do, to help all of us be able to do what we were created to do. That's to give glory and honor and praise to him. And so I want to invite you, if you'd stand, I want to just give us an opportunity to pray, to reflect for a moment, and be led into the presence of God to give him the glory that's due his name. So as you're standing there, stretching, your body just stood up. All the parts work together. Reflect on this. What's my part? What part does he want me to play in this church family to accomplish the mission that he has for us here? Go ahead, think it through. If there's places he's already called you into and you're serving, have the thought, this is for you, Lord. It's all about you. If there's new things he's putting on your heart, if he's just kind of giving you a hunger to discover a little bit more, start it out by saying, God, it's for you. Anything that I would do, I want to do it with you and for you. So Lord, here in this holy moment, as this gifted team leads us before your throne, would we see again today and declare again today, it's all about you. All the praise, all the glory, all the honor for all the things you've given us, all the ways you work through us, it's all for you. Hear our praise as your people, as our mouths declare, as our lungs sing, as our hearts cry out,
be glorified forever and ever. Amen.